I'm really excited to have Brother Constantino here. I have heard about Lighthouse Baptist Church for a long time, and we've inherited some Lighthouse Baptist folks here in our church a few years ago, and this is just a great reunion. Brother Dave, would you come and preach to us? Tell us a little bit about your wife, your family, all your grandkids, and about your ministry. Thank you. Let's give him a round of applause, couldn't we? Amen.
Dunbar, and the pulpit was up to here. No, it's not. I wish they had a stool. I felt like every time, you know, preaching like this, you know, because, well, it's good to be here. Praise the Lord, and appreciate your pastor. Appreciate your passion, preacher. Amen. And what a great idea. I never even thought of something like this, but boy, you can tell you love your people, you love your church, and you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's good to be here. Amen. Enjoyed the meal. Enjoyed that chili. I ate the hot one, so I could be a little fiery maybe when I preach. I don't know. Amen. And, of course, it's good to see, you know, Victor and Edie and Dave and Zariah and Jose and Iris and all of you folks. Amen. Your kids have all grown up. Praise the Lord. You have many, many precious memories. Robin Banks with them guys and all that else. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, we had a good time. We just talked about that sitting in the vehicle, and we just said, man, we just had a lot of fun. And serving the Lord, you can enjoy being a Christian. You can enjoy serving the Lord. And we would laugh, and we did some of that tonight, and that's a blessing. So what a blessing to be here. And I know you got a great lineup of preachers, Pastor Guadagno. He's doing a great job taking over for his father, and good man. His father was a dear friend of mine, was on my ordination. Pastor Cole as well, Pastor Wigdor. I'm not sure. I don't think I ever met the other guy, Pastor Dan Klein. I've heard of him. I might have. Amen. But good people, praise the Lord. Well, I've been pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I was with these wonderful people, and I mean dear people, wonderful people. You folks are a blessing, and As back in the early days when Pastor Bartlett was the pastor and he left, and you were one of the deacons when you guys voted me in as pastor. I think you said you regretted it later on. I'm not sure. No, and so I've been there for 31 years, and I'm praying God would give me 9 or 10 more or as long as I can go. But in that time, you know, we raised our children there. Our children were brought up in church. And we do have quite a few grandchildren. So we had 20 grandchildren, praise the Lord. Amen. And grandchildren are God's blessing for you not killing your children, right? Amen. Been a blessing. And you talked all about that Christmas stuff, and it's so true. I was telling the folks Sunday, and I'm going to put this watch here so I don't go over time. But we wouldn't have Christmas celebration. Now, we wouldn't have Christmas if it wasn't for Jesus. Amen. But we wouldn't have all the celebration for Christmas if it wasn't for women. I mean, think about it, right? I mean, they do it all. They do all the shopping. We do all the paying for it. They do all the decorating. We bring all the stuff up, take all the stuff down. They do all the baking. We do all the eating, amen? But it's so true. I mean, everything that... Yeah, they do all the rapping, all the complaining, all that stuff. No, no, that bracelet. For us guys, Christmas would be, hey, let's get a pizza and a couple of hot dogs. We'd be good. Amen. I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I think this is a tremendous idea, and I like the theme. Again, begin finishing well. You're finishing, you're beginning. And when I got the letter with the invitation to preach, I wanted to grab the first night so I knew absolutely nobody would preach. I wouldn't be coming up here and preaching what somebody else preached, as we talked about here. But and maybe you've preached here before, I'm sure, when you've been pastoring a while. There's all of these ideas, these themes you've preached. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, very fitting scriptures here. We're going to read verse 8 down to 10. Now, I want to do what you do, preacher. Do you have your folks stand when you read the Bible? Do you?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Well, no, I'm not against it. I just want to do what the pastor does, because I am a believer of minding the preacher. And some churches do, some churches don't. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, you know. I mean, in our church, they sleep while I preach. So, you know, if you do that here, I'll feel at home. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is thy what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance; by it there is profit to them that see the sun. I just realized I didn't introduce my wife, my dear wife Sandy, too, as well. She was my childhood sweetheart. We met at 15 and 16. We got married in 18 and 19, we've been married for 46 years, 25 of them have been very happy. And, they've been all very happy. Amen. So praise the Lord. We just celebrated our 46th anniversary. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you, dear God, to be able to be in church tonight. Thank you for this pastor and his dear wife and these dear church people. And Lord, his vision and his passion. And dear God, we want to honor and glorify you tonight. We love you now, Lord. Help us to do exactly what you've laid on his heart for his church people to do. And so I ask you, Lord, to help me to be, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, put everything, every thought of the flesh out of my mind. And Lord, help me to be in my thoughts where you want me to be through the scriptures. In Christ's name, amen. Well, all over the world, people are going to celebrate the new year. And as we do every year, we say goodbye to the old year. We look forward to the new with the hope that things will be better than the year before. And so I think it's a wonderful thing for us to get into the new year with optimism and hope. And I believe when you got God, you always got hope. Amen. And we've lived with a lot of negative. But the gospel is always good news. No matter what condition the world is, no matter how bad things get, it's always good news. I mean, that's what the gospel is. People are still getting saved, and that's a wonderful thing. And so we want to go into the year with that hope that the Bible talks about. Now, some great scriptures here. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And when you look at that, you can understand that. Why would the end be better? Well, your song leader prayed a little bit about that. It's better because you finished. You finished a year. Now, not everyone likes to see things through the end. There are many things that are, some things we like, we just think, boy, I'm glad that's over with. We kind of endure to the end. You know, the Bible talks about that, enduring to the end. One thing we never want to do is we never want to endure Christianity. We would never want to endure our walk with God. And so there's some things we just think, we're glad it's over because it was rough. Then there's some things, we're glad because it was great. I mean, so there's people in here that have retired. And so you finished. You finished years of service, maybe in the military or country or whatever. You served your country. Graduating from high school, isn't that exciting? Amen. And then, of course, when you come through a trial, or you go through sickness, or recover from surgery, you're glad that's over with. Yeah. But you made it. You made it out alive. Amen. One thing we're never going to do is get out of this world alive. You got to think about that for a second. Amen. It's not always how you start. It's how you finish. Now, I used to teach my kids, I used to get them up in the morning and say, look, start the day right, and the day will finish right. And it is important to start right. But you want to finish right. And that's really important, is how you finish. See, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. One reason is because you're still here. There's probably people that are not here this year that were here last year. Isn't that sad? We have it in our church. There's some people, we just 3 weeks in a row we had funerals. We buried spouses, young cancer victims. And so they're struggling with the grief process. I lost my mother a couple of months ago. She lost her mother about 3 months ago. She lost three aunts, you know. So we all went through our first Christmas away from that. You've been through that. And so when you get to the end of the year and you've still got your family, amen, you still got your friends, you still got your health, isn't that wonderful? You can praise the Lord for that. And then maybe you got some new additions. Maybe you've lost some. Some went to heaven, some left. That breaks your heart. Doesn't break your heart when people graduate to heaven. You're happy, you miss them. But then you got some new additions. We got a grandson this year. And then we have a lot of new babies, and we praise the Lord for that. Then you come to the end of the year, you still have your health, or you still have your job. Thank God we're not in any major war. Amen. I pray all the time with all the stuff going on. Lord, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I pray for peace. We know what's going to happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen. So we pray that we're not in any major war. These are better things. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And he says here also that the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Because it takes patience to see things through to the end. It really does. It takes patience to finish. And you don't want to just finish. You want to finish well. I remember talking to a preacher, an evangelist. I said, hey, look, I'm 65 years old. I'm looking with a lot of behind me and a lot less in front of me, except for going to heaven. And he says, what do you do when you start getting near the end of the race? You pour it on. Now, physically, I can't pour it on. I probably work harder than I did when I was younger, but get less accomplished in the sense that I have my age against me and I get a little tired easier. But you can still pour it on. You can still work hard, amen? You can still have your passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have patience. The patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Patience will help you see it through to the end. When things seem more bitter, and that's the title of my message, to the better end. We want to see it through, not to the bitter end, but we want to see it through to the better end, amen? We want to finish our course, but we don't want to just finish our course. We want to finish our course with joy. You know, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, and a long time ago, that became my theme verse, you know, because I saw people that didn't finish. I saw people that finished, but they finished bitter. I saw preachers and missionaries and Christians that finished bitter. They finished, but they endured to the end. I don't want to just endure to the end. And so Paul said, but none of these things move me, and neither count I my life dear to myself, but that I might finish my course with joy. And so you don't want to just finish. You want to finish with joy and the ministry that is given us. So when things seem more bitter than better, you got to be careful because you're in danger of not finishing. And you know what? The devil wants to knock you out. His goal is to get you guys out of here and out of fellowship and get them out of here as well. That's why you ought to pray for your preacher and his wife. Because he just works on it. He hasn't changed. He likes to divide and conquer. So don't let yourself get bitter. Bitterness takes more Christians out than anything else. So it takes patience to see things through to the end. Pray for patience. It takes patience to be in the ministry. It takes patience to teach a Sunday school class. especially to teach a Sunday school class, work in the nursery, all those vital ministries in the church that make it all work together. You know, people walk out of the church and they tell us, you know, hey, that was a good sermon. Sometimes. My church, they go out the other door when they don't like the sermon. And I really get worried when she goes out the other door. I know it was a bad sermon. But you don't get that in the nursery. You don't have any of the toddlers go out. Boy, that was a good sermon. You know, I really enjoyed that Sunday school lesson. You know, they're 6 years old. It takes patience, though, to see your ministry through. It takes patience to see your Sunday school class through. It takes patience to keep on doing it when you don't see the fruit you'd like to see. It takes patience to see your marriage through to the end in the right way. But when you get bitter, you begin to lose patience. You're in danger of quitting. See, starting is easy. It's easy to start. It's exciting to start because it's new. It's new. Started out in marriage. You all remember that when you first started out? Started out raising your family. Starting out your new job. Pastor coming to the church and just starting out as the new pastor, starting the church. Sometimes in my mind, I like to project myself as if it was and walk around the church as if I was the new pastor, even though I was there for 31 years. And so, I don't want it to lose its newness. I don't want it to lose its newness in my relationship with my wife. And so I think back and I muse about when we first met and how it was and all that other stuff. And I try to, with the ministry, you know, you try to put away the bad and focus on the good. Starting is easy. Starting a project. The question is, will you finish? And will you finish well? Look at John chapter 17, verse 4. We're going to come back here, but look at John chapter 17. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He finished. All that took place, he finished. He had his eye on the goal. He had his eye on what God had called him to do. He talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what would happen in between? He endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen? You have to go through those things. You have to go through those trials. You have to go through those hard times. You have to go through those bitter times. Just don't take a sip of the bitter cup. Keep your eyes on Christ and the goal. He which hath begun a good work is going to finish it. Praise the Lord. May we finish with as much passion and as zeal as we started. Because the danger is as you get closer to the end, if you finish it all, you slack off. When it's no longer fun, when it's no longer profitable, when you find out that there's a whole lot more sorrow and disappointment, and there is, that's life, even in the Christian life. Be careful. You're in danger of quitting. The joy that is set before you, but it takes patience. You want to quit, you want to finish when God says you're finished. The fisherman who draws his net too soon won't have any fish to sell or to eat. The person who closes the book too quickly before he's gotten to the end of the book, won't learn the lessons that he has. I mean, do you ever think about this? You're going to have trials. You're going to have difficulties. Why waste your trial by quitting? Because the trial, the whole thing of the trial is designed to make you stronger, to make you a better person, to make you a better Christian, to give you compassion, to give you understanding, to be able to help other people that have gone through that trial. But when you get bitter and you quit and you lose patience, you've just wasted your trial. Whatever that trial is, you've wasted it. That's what happened to Israel in the wilderness. They wasted it. And so they spent 40 years just wandering around. Why waste your trial? Better is the patient in spirit. So you got to have patience, and you have to pray for the Spirit of God to fill you and give you the patience you need. The patient in spirit, he said here, is better than the proud in spirit. We quit because we grow impatient. So in order to finish it, you need patience. Finish even though it's difficult. Paul told the Galatians, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" There may be folks here that are on the verge of quitting. You began well, but you're in danger of not finishing. What happened to that happy Christian, that excited Christian that was excited about their Sunday school class, excited about their being saved, excited about the ministry, excited about that they're going to heaven, that they had their sins forgiven? You remember Art Wilson? Pastor Bartlett always had him, and I wanted to have this preacher so bad. The first time I had him, he was 75 years old. And I went to pick him up at his hotel, and his door was open. He was waiting to me, and he's reading his Bible. He's 75. I'm 35 at the time. I know I still look 35, but I must not, because you're laughing. And when I came to get him, he jumped up and he says, "Hey, Brother Dave, did you see this? God just showed me this today." I'm thinking, that 75-year-old preacher who's been preaching for over 50 years, he's still as excited about God as he was when he first started out. We're driving along, and my wife's in the back seat with his wife, and he's blind by this time. Now, years later, he's blind. I'm picking him up to preach, and he has to preach from memory, and him and my wife and his wife are in the back seat talking about all their ailments. And he's 90. 90, 91. And he says, "I feel sorry for you folks. You're falling apart." We started planning for next year's meeting. And his wife says, "Now, Arch, you don't know. We could be dead next year." He said, "Yeah, or Jesus could be here by then." He wasn't looking for death. He was looking for Christ. He wasn't bitter. He was patient. He's preaching on. Amen. You got to be willing to wait. Don't close the book too soon. We had some problems with our kids when they were younger. Praise the Lord, we're all in church and all serving the Lord. But at the time, it didn't look too hopeful. We had somebody walk up to us in church, and a couple other people having the same problem. And they said, "Preacher, can you get somebody in here that can help us with our family? Because there's nobody here that can help us." I knew what they were saying. And I said, "Okay, I'll get somebody. But before you tally up the score, the results aren't all in yet. Never give up. Never give up on your kids. Never give up on anybody. Pride will keep you from finishing." Pride is contrasted with patience here in this verse. We become impatient because of pride. We get bitter because of pride. Because we've been offended. Because we feel we deserve better. Because we feel that we have to wait for something we don't think we should have to wait. Why should I have to wait? It's like you go out shopping at Christmas time and the store is crowded and you're thinking, "Get out of my way. What are all you people doing here? I got to do my shopping." as if you're the only one that belongs in the store. When pride comes in, you're in danger of not finishing. It says here, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, verse 9, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Don't let your temper cause you to quit. Anger will keep you from finishing. And the foundation of anger is pride. There's bitterness, and you let it build up, and you let it build up, and then you just explode. Pride will cause you to make hasty decisions. Pride will lead to anger. Pride will lead to jumping to conclusions, rushing to judgment, quick to find fault or accuse. Pride will keep you from working together. Your way is better and the others is stupid, so you're going to quit. I had to do a funeral for an old friend of mine. Ended up getting saved. Came out to church for a while. He died. He wanted sung at the church at his funeral service, and I did it at the funeral home. I did it my way. And I'm thinking, oh my. So I preached that you can't get to heaven your way. It's Jesus' way. It's not your way. And I figured he was over on the other side. He was glad I was preaching that. But we don't get our way, so we quit. That's because of bitterness or pride. Some are too proud to receive advice or hear about a better way or a better idea or to enlist the help of others. The patient in spirit works with others and listens to advice and enlists the help of others. It takes patience, not pride, to finish. Now, everybody deals with pride. Pride is, by nature, we're selfish. We've constantly got to ask the Spirit of God to search our hearts and confess pride in every form. But it's there. I don't care who you are, it's there. And if you allow it, if you allow those things, bitterness, instead of the bitter things, and the pride and the anger, you won't finish. God wants you to finish. Now, you won't lose your salvation. If you're saved, praise the Lord, you're eternally secure. He's going to finish what he's begun in you. But why should he have to play catch up in heaven? In other words, why lose rewards? Just as I said, don't waste a trial. Don't waste a life. When we can go to heaven gaining rewards instead of losing rewards. So, better is the end of the thing. You want to finish, and you want to finish well, but it's going to take patience. It's going to mean you have to lay aside pride. You're going to have to not be hasty, not be in a hurry. You're going to have to run the race with patience, as the Bible says, and not allow anger to rest in your bosom, because you'll become a fool and you won't finish. And then lastly, in verse 10 here, he says, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Lack of vision will keep you from finishing. You must always have a vision. Never lose your vision. I don't care how old you are. My grandfather was 96 when he died. I remember visiting him in the hospital, and they were trying to make him eat some food. And he said, David, he was Italian, they're trying to ruin my life. He says, they're trying to make him eat us some food. I'm going to eat them. He said, I'm going to eat them. He said, they're ruining my life. I said, Grandpa, you're 96. What do you mean they're ruining your life? How much life do you have left there? You know. Lack of vision will keep you from finishing. Looking back is good, but looking forward is better. Now, I like to look back. And I understand the verse in Philippians, you know, forgetting those things which are behind. But I think that's in a different way, as long as we keep our eye on the prize. But You know, as you start to remember, you have good memories and good things, and those. But we, you want to look back not to think that those were better days, but to keep you fired up for the days ahead. Amen? To keep your hands to the plow. Not looking back with regrets, but looking forward with anticipation and expectation and excitement and enthusiasm and passion and zeal, because Jesus is coming pretty soon. Amen? And if not, in between, we're going to heaven. It's human nature to think that the past was better than the present. Sure, the country, if you compare the way the nation was and the way it is today, and I think about raising my kids in this country versus the country that we all got to grow in, and it's not, you know. But maybe we'll still have revival. Or maybe it's like the Titanic. We may not save the ship, but we could sure fill up as many lifeboats as we could. Amen? And if we got to go down, we can go down preaching and singing and shouting and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's human nature to think the past was better than the present. But just because it's human nature doesn't mean that it's always better to do so. Because it's discouraging to the present generation. It kills hope and encourages quitting. Well, what's the use? Well, the last pastor, or the last president, or the old building, or the old days all seem better than the present. And so it's not like it used to be. So I might as well quit. Because it's not like it used to be. That's going to hinder you from beginning, or it's going to hinder you from finishing, or finishing well. Don't let the past keep you from finishing. Even if you had a bad past, I don't care what your childhood was like. I don't care what your mother was like. I don't care what happened to you in the past. Amen. You do not have to be a prisoner of your past if you're saved. Amen. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. There's victory in Jesus. Don't let the past keep you from finishing. Don't let the past hold you back. Don't let the past define you. Let Jesus Christ define you. If we must compare the past with the present, let's use the past to make the present better, which will lead to a better future. Do you want a better end? You have to have a vision for the future. There cannot be a better end without beginning. And so you have to begin. You want to finish, but then you got to start, right? If you don't start, you don't finish. You never begin, you never finish. If you're waiting for it to be perfect before you begin, you'll never start. You know what? Even a slow start is better than no start. Prepare, pray, seek counsel, and then start. Begin. And if you failed, begin again. Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, in Lamentations somewhere, that His mercies are new every morning? Don't think about being a Christian. You can start all over every single day. Now, definitely you don't want to mess up and you want to use that to mess up. But I'm saying you just want to keep on getting up. If you're going to fall forward. Like when you're running and you're going somewhere and you fall forward and you get back up again. But begin. Don't wait for it to be perfect. It'll never be perfect. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." He's waiting for the perfect thing, perfect time. Don't let fear keep you from starting, fear of failure. Waiting for everything to be perfect, or waiting for, or afraid to start because you're afraid you'll fail, or afraid you won't finish. I don't want to start because I don't want to start something I'm not going to finish. Well, start anyways. And if you have to start again, maybe you'll get a little further this year than you got last year. Right? Just don't quit. If you keep on beginning, you may get a little closer to the finish line, or maybe this time you'll finish. So, begin at least one thing this year and finish it. A worthwhile project? A book? One verse to memorize? Say, I'm going to at least work on, oh, I can't memorize scripture. Okay, I used to take one verse. And when you get that one, then go to the next one. But get that verse. One book of the Bible, yes, it's good to read through the Bible every year, but make sure I'm going to at least read this book for sure. And then I'll go on to the next book. Aim to win one soul to Christ. God, give me one soul. One soul. Pay off one bill. Wouldn't that be great? Work on one relationship. Pick one thing about yourself you'd like to change and pray and work and ask God to help you to change it. Write it down and pray over it. But finish. Be patient. Keep that temper in check. Keep on going even when it's not fun. Stay at it even if it's not the same, if you don't think it's the same. Do your best to finish what you started. Keep your vision or a renewed vision in order to have a better ending. Because you want to not only just finish, you want to finish well. Think about this. We are closer to heaven. We are closer to Christ's return. And you just take it one day at a time this coming year. Here's a good verse. Let me close with this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58, right? Therefore, my beloved brethren, right? Be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Pastor?
As Brother Dave was talking, I was thinking about my own reminder of an individual. Can anybody hear me? Okay, I can't hear myself. That I was in Colorado on deputation at a church. The guest speaker was 86 years old. He was a World War II veteran. And I remember being up in the hill country in northern, it was an hour north of Denver. And it was March, winter, cold, and I'm out running. And he meets me in the foyer of the hotel, and we introduce each other, we talk. And he says, do you have any idea what you're doing? And I said, I wasn't exactly sure. I wanted to be polite and gracious. And I said, what do you mean? He said, do you realize you're over 5,000 feet up? Do you know how to take care of yourself in this kind of elevation? I said, no, I have absolutely no idea. So he told me, as an ex-military person, how to take care of myself running in an altitude that my body was completely not prepared for. And he told me what to do if I was going to continue this insanity. And I had a chance to spend quite a bit of time with him that week. He finished one of his sermons with this poem that he wrote. It's titled, What Then? When the choir has sung its last anthem and the preacher has prayed his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died out in the air, when the Bible light closed on the altar and the pews are all emptied of men, and each one stands facing his record, and the great book is opened, what then? When the actor has played his last drama, and the mimic has made his last fun, when the film has played its last picture, and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure has vanished and gone out in the darkness again, when the trumpet of ages is sounded and we stand up before him, what then? When the bugles call saints into silence and the long marching columns stand still, when the captain repeats his last order, and they have captured the last fort and hill, when the flag is hauled in from the masthead, and the wounded of field have checked in, when the world that rejected the Savior is asked for a reason, what then? Quitting is easy. Quitting's cowardly. Quitting is selfish. Because you let down everybody that's counting on you. Don't quit. So the goal is, it's a great passage of Scripture. Is to find through our daily Bible reading, through our daily experiences, to ask and pray, Lord, where am I? What would you have me learn? Even if I have to start over. It could be better. It could be better. We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song. Number 56 in your hymn book. Number 56.